Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's going on, everybody? That's right, the Double S Express back together again. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd bringing you a new sports show here on BBS Radio. Sean Boyd, welcome to the program.
Hey, this is a great feeling, Mr. Wally. Like you said, back on radio. It's an exciting time for us, isn't it?
You know, it's definitely something that's been too few and far between, and we are now back on the airwaves, and we, you know, Sean and I go back, a bit of a background on the both of us. We first met briefly back in 2001 as I was taking television production at a tech school in Tacoma, and we reconnected in 2005 when we became the voice of the Tacoma Thunder, the broadcast team in the International Basketball League, and things have been moving forward ever since.
Man, you know, it is great to reminisce and think back on those times, Sean. We had a lot of fun, man. And, you know, I love telling the story about, you know, Will Ferrell and, you know, the movie Semi-Pro. If you guys have ever seen that movie, you know, it's almost like they took a page right out of our lives. I mean, wouldn't you say, Sean? I mean, a lot of that stuff we went through, and it's, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world, because here we are, we're doing what we love, talking sports and bringing it to the people.
Yeah, that movie did a great job of projecting what life is like in the minor leagues, and we learned a lot of that firsthand, and, you know, not to mention one of our former players was in the movie.
Yes, Rashid Byrd. 7 and some change. Man, those were fun times.
So definitely good to be back together once again on air here. And we will be bringing you great sports talk with big-time guests. As the Open said, we'll be looking to bring you guests on our weekly show. And we have two lined up for you on our inaugural voyage here today.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. We have Eric Williams, the Seahawks beat writer from the Tacoma News Tribune on today. And, of course, the second guest, Ruthie Bolton, of Olympic fame and WNBA fame. It's going to be a great show, man.
And you can catch all the information and stay up to date on the show and who's going to be on. And for our second show, which will air Monday, May 20th, we're going to be having shows every Monday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific. Second show, we will be able to take callers. So the phone lines will be open on May 20th. The phone numbers are on our show page, which you can find at bbsradio.com/onthedouble.
Yeah, and don't be shy to call in. I mean, if you have any questions, any ideas of any sort, don't be afraid to call. If you want to talk sports, we don't just talk football, baseball, basketball, all genres, you know, whether it's soccer, hockey, lacrosse, you name it. You can give us a call. And, you know, if we don't know it, you know, we'll make sure that we find some way of knowing it the next time you call in. So it's going to be fun, guys.
We are definitely not one-dimensional, and we will talk any and all sports most definitely. And a lot going on right now in the baseball world, basketball world, and heck, we just had the NFL draft, and it's a good time to be a sports fan.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, it is. It's a great time to be a sports fan. There are some interesting things that are going on. When you think about the NBA playoffs that are going on, you have some surprises there. And then, of course, you have some things that are normal as well. You have the Golden State Warriors, who are the Cinderellas of the playoffs right now. And then you have the Miami Heat, who seem to be just running through the playoffs. And then, of course, you know, in the baseball realm, even though it's the beginning of the season, there are a lot of surprises that are happening out there, and some good surprises.
Speaking of baseball and a team you're familiar with being not too far from the Bay, the Oakland Athletics, let's talk a moment about what happened a few days ago with a 4-3 lead by the Cleveland Indians in the ninth inning, top of the ninth.
Oh, man.
A home run is called for a double. The tying run would have scored. The umpires reviewed it last week, and man, they still got it wrong.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing because, you know, all the time people say, you know, why don't we bring instant replay into baseball? Most people actually do not like instant replay in baseball, but in this particular case, I think it was warranted. What you're talking about is a home run, you know, that was taken away, and the Oakland A's wind up losing the game 4-3. Now, in the grand scheme of things, in a 162-game season, it's no big deal. But, man, has it hit the airwaves and the media by storm. And, you know, I believe that somewhere down the road, they might take a look at this instant replay again.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of an oxymoron that Major League Baseball said, okay, we screwed up, but we can't do anything about it. What they should have looked at is said, hey, let's call this a tie for now. It's 4-4. The next time the Indians and A's get together, we're starting over with whatever the position was, top of the ninth, however many outs, tie game, and play the final inning out and go from there. Because with a tie score, there's no guarantee the A's win the game, so it's not right. Like the game was necessarily stolen, but they would have had the opportunity potentially if they had made it to the 10th and beyond.
Right, right. So in a perfect world, that would be the case. But if you're looking at the position that Joe Torre is sitting in as one of the executives in Major League Baseball, and this type of situation comes to him, you know, are you opening up Pandora's box? And, you know, is this something that could be troubling down the road? So I believe right now they're actually taking a look at that, and you won't see this type of situation happen again.
Speaking of the Oakland Athletics, they've been on a bit of a free fall. They started out fairly hot.
Yeah.
And, you know, their first series of the year, they split with the Mariners, two up, two down. And then from there, they went on a rise, and they've been on a rough spot of late.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned, you know, the Oakland A's and the Seattle Mariners. Right now, the Oakland A's are sitting at 18-18, so they're at 500 right now with the Seattle Mariners a game and a half behind. But, you know, those two teams are looking up at the Texas Rangers, who are on cruise control right now. But who knows? Maybe, you know, Oakland and Seattle can, you know, make this a good race as the season goes on.
And the Mariners, they've definitely got one of the top two most dominant pitchers so far this season at top of their rotation. Of course, King Felix Hernandez, you know what you're going to get with him. And then Hisashi Iwakuma doing great things. They both have under a 1.6 ERA.
And that's what you need if you're looking to be a great baseball team. You definitely have to have solid pitching. The other thing is also having a solid bullpen. And when you have a combination of that and the Mariners, it looks like they have the bats are not quite there just yet, but you can tell that there's a lot of potential with Morris on the team. He is going to be a superstar, Sean Wally. I'm excited to see what the Mariners do as the season goes on.
Baseball all summer, but let's switch now to football as we just had the NFL draft and the rookies have reported for camp, and let's bring in on the Platinum Automotive Services hotline. Eric Williams joins us now, the Seattle Seahawk beat writer for the Tacoma News Tribune. Eric, welcome, and thanks for being on.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. How you guys doing?
Hey, great, Eric. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So with the Seattle Seahawks, we will start there since that is your daily job to cover the team. Did it surprise you what John Schneider and Pete Carroll did in the draft, or is it basically at the point with them that you expect the unexpected?
I think you're right. I think you do kind of expect the unexpected when it comes to John Schneider and Pete Carroll. You know, just when you look at the history, Bruce Irvin, you know, last year at 15, a lot of people thought he was a second-round prospect, but he comes in and he's successful and he fits a specific need that they want. You know, this year they dropped a running back, Christian Michael, out of Texas A&M, a guy that a lot of people thought was a first-round talent but fell down the draft board due to off-the-field issues, had some concerns with how he got along with his coach at Texas A&M. And then we look at, you know, their depth chart, Marshawn Lynch, obviously one of the best running backs in the game, Robert Turbin was real solid backing up Lynch. You would think that they didn't really have a need, and it was surprising to have to watch them select a running back that high. But this is a running team. This is a team that ran the most of any team in the NFL last year, so it makes sense to continue to try to build depth at that position, although they did have other needs, you know, specifically at defensive tackle and defensive end. So we'll see how Michael fits in, you know, when you get to watch him through the rest of OTAs and training camp. But certainly he's an electric talent that has some explosiveness to the running game.
Eric, speaking of defensive end, news broke, I believe, yesterday that Greg Scruggs has torn his ACL. Now, that obviously is a setback for him personally, but that pretty much opens up doors for some of these drafted rookies and also undrafted free agents to try and make this squad.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, Greg Scruggs was a guy that played and was very productive for them last season as a seventh-round pick, had two sacks, and was real productive as a third-down rusher from the interior of the defensive line. So there were some expectations for him to come and be a contributor as a rotational player. As you mentioned, now guys like Jordan Hill, their third-round pick, and Jesse Williams, their fifth-round pick out of Alabama, are going to have an opportunity to work into that rotation with Scruggs being out there. In particular, I really like Jordan Hill because of his versatility. 6'1", 300 pounds. He's a guy that can play on the nose and can also play three-tech and be that that interior pass rusher that they need to add with the additions that they had in free agency and signing Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett to continue to add to that pass rush. So those will be two players to really watch both during off-season program and in training camp.
So, Eric, let's talk about some of the players that have actually signed in the later round. So you added a guard in Ryan Seymour. And also guard Jared Smith. What type of role are these players going to play with the Seahawks this year?
You know, I think they signed, you know, three offensive linemen in the seventh round, two, as you mentioned, Seymour and Smith, and then another guy, Michael Bowie. And I think it's just kind of continuing to build depth along the line. All three of those guys are developmental players that are going to get a chance to continue to grow. You know, whether they make the roster or on the practice squad, I think they're guys that continue to help, you know, build that depth in the offensive line. They wanted to add some offensive linemen earlier in the draft, but because so many guys are going off the board in the first couple of rounds, they decided to wait until later in the draft to grab a couple guys. Seymour's a guy that's going to play right guard for them. Jared Smith is a defensive tackle that's going to convert to center, similar to the conversion that J.R. Sweezy made for the team last year. So he's going to get some work at center. They're going to try to get as much learning as they can to speed up the process. But I don't think these are guys that are going to be counted on to play meaningful minutes in 2012. Although Bowie's the guy that's going to push Bruno Giacomini at right tackle.
Okay. Eric, is it fair to say that James Carpenter is definitely on notice?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, obviously they want to make sure he's 100% healthy first, and that's the key. I think they brought him back a little bit too early coming off the ACL surgery last year, and they end up paying for it, having to put him on injury reserve. Now they want to make sure that he's 100% healthy, and if that's the case, they feel like they have a pretty solid left side with Carpenter at left guard and Russell coming at left tackle. Now, Carpenter's going to have to compete for that spot with Paul McQuiston, a guy that is due to make $3 million in 2013. So it'll be interesting to see how that competition shakes out, to see if Carpenter can stay healthy for a full season. But they do have a fallback plan in McQuiston, who has been more than serviceable as a left guard and can play four positions along the offensive line, so it gives you some versatility as well.
Eric Williams, beat writer for the Tacoma News Tribune, covering the Seattle Seahawks. Eric, think back to when Pete Carroll was hired in Renton, and what did you think then of the move, and what are your thoughts now? Because I know there are a lot of people out there that aren't real fond of Pete Carroll and his cheerleader antics, and my co-host is one of them. And yes, there were those issues at USC that we won't get into. But from my perspective, I mean, he's totally turned this team around with the help of John Schneider. It's like they're a two-headed monster driving a vehicle with, you know, they've got a funny car with two steering wheels, and they're getting it to go in the same direction.
Well, I think there certainly were some questions with the way that it was handled when you had a coach in Jim Mora that really was only given 1 year to put his system in place. And to be fired after 1 year, I think is unfair, you know. But that's what the owner, Paul Allen, chose to do. He wanted a coach that had a little more clout, a little more juice, and that's why he went out and got Carroll. And in hindsight, that was the right decision because Pete Carroll really came in. He knew specifically what he wanted to do in terms of implementing his offensive and defensive systems. He knew that he wanted to revamp the roster, which, you know, Mora was going to do if he got a second chance to coach for another season. And he's done a masterful job, whether you know, are sipping on the Haterade at what he did at USC or not. I mean, you kind of have to give him, you know, his props for what he's been able to accomplish in 3 years, along with John Snyder, the general manager, which I think was the perfect general manager for him because both of them are not afraid to take risks on players and draft the guys that they want, not necessarily the people that they think, other people think that they should draft.
Hey, Eric.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. What do you think changed as far as Pete Carroll's philosophy, his attitude, not necessarily the, you know, with him coaching at USC. Let's go back to when he was the head coach of the New York Jets. You know, what do you think has changed? I mean, you get a chance to deal with him on a day to day. Are there things that he's tweaked in his coaching, or is it just the same old Pete that comes out day in and day out?
I still think he's the same guy, you know, in terms of how he coaches. He's a very positive guy that's a player's coach. Guys like to play for him. In those situations, he didn't have control of the 53-man roster. He didn't have a decision, a deciding factor on who was going to be on the roster and who wasn't. And so that's really the main difference, what's happening now versus what happened with New England and the Jets. He has control of the 53-man roster, who's going to be there, and in the selection process of his players. And that was the only way that he was going to go back to an NFL job, is if he had control of that process. So certainly that's one thing that's a key. The second thing is he's just done a better job of kind of figuring out, you know, what he believes in terms of his philosophy. And he's a real great motivator of men. You know, again, guys like to play for him, guys respect him, and he has the hammer. You know, if you don't come in and adhere to the program, he'll cut you. And it doesn't matter if you're a USC guy or you're a guy that he recruited in high school. You know, you have several examples of that. Mike Williams, Lofotutupu, Lindale White, you know, former USC players that have come in and for whatever reason didn't either perform at a certain level or maybe were character concerns, he has no problem getting rid of them.
Mm. Good point.
Yeah, Eric, you know, it's funny how you've got two great coaches in Seahawk history with Mike Holmgren and now Pete Carroll. They both had personnel decisions, and you see how one worked or is working in Pete Carroll's choices,
yeah.
And Holmgren never really got there, and that's why the GM title was ripped from him.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I think Holmgren's had a couple different bites at the apple now. You know, initially when he came to Seattle, he was the person that was making all the calls, and he was trying to do a little bit of everything, and I think that was the problem initially when he first came to Seattle. Once they brought in a GM that could kind of run the program and Holmgren could focus on coaching the team, they had success. Now, the problem is when they brought in Tim Ruskell, Ruskell and Holmgren didn't have similar philosophies and similar visions on players, and that's where you had the friction, the animosity, and ultimately you had to break up those guys and hire a new regime. And then Holmgren, again, went to Cleveland, got a chance to be the guy making those decisions in terms of personnel. But I think Holmgren's strength is coaching, and not only coaching, but calling plays on game day. And I think that's why he didn't succeed in Cleveland. He should have been also on the field making those game day decisions, and I think things would have went better then.
Eric, before we switch gears and discuss your favorite NFL team, as I say, tongue in cheek.
Baby.
Man,
I want to say that, you know, you have some of the most poignant and on par, on point people that use your Seahawks Insider blog on the Tacoma News Tribune website, and I peruse that every now and then, as you know, and I see the same people posting at 6 a.m., 6 p.m., 2 a.m. I'm like, do these people have jobs? Did they win the lottery? They're on there 24/7 posting, you know, everything under the sun, and they eat, sleep, and breathe Seahawk, which I gotta love, and it's a great blog that you run.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that. And, you know, first of all, it's something that Mike Sandel established, you know, at the News Tribune, and I'm simply following his footsteps and trying to keep those high standards going, you know, now that I'm the person running it. And it is nice to have people that really know the team commenting on there 24/7, because that gives me ideas for stories, or maybe there's things that I'm missing in terms of coverage. So it's nice to have that steady flow of commentary that you can depend on seeing day in and day out. And I think it's a reason that people continue to go to the blog, not only what I'm writing in my analysis, but some of the comments that you're hearing from people that know the league and know football as well.
As I alluded to, Eric Williams is a fan of the Oakland Raiders and just so happens to be my co-host Sean Boyd's favorite team. So, guys, go at it. Raider time.
Hey, well,
Go ahead, Sean.
You know, I just wanted to be known that my Raider look and my feel and the love comes from being legacied in. My uncle, Nehemiah Wilson, played football for the Oakland Raiders in 1976, wow. Played for about 6 years with the Raiders. He came in with Willie Brown. They went to Grambling State together, and they both came into the league as unrestricted free agents. Wound up with the Denver Broncos their first year. And John Madden, Al Davis, saw something in these two guys and brought them over. And, of course, ever since then, I have loved the silver and black. So it's not anything that, you know, that I love the Raiders for whatever weird reason that people think we Raider fans love Raiders for. I bleed it. I bleed the silver and black, and it's exciting, Eric, to have you on the show. Hey, I'm just going to let you go ahead and talk.
Well, first of all, let me explain where my love for the Raiders came from. You know, I grew up in Tacoma, Washington. You know, when I was a youngster, the Seahawks didn't have a team until 76, and so the Raiders were the first team I kind of identified with before the Seahawks had a franchise. And just the stuff that you mentioned, guys like Willie Brown, you know, in the 80s, you know, when I really was focused on the Raiders, I played cornerback, so Lester Hayes and Michael Haynes were my guys. And then I played tailback, too, so Marcus Allen was my dude. And those are the guys that, you know, I tried to emulate as a football player, you know, growing up in Tacoma, both in high school and college. And so when you watch the Raiders, it's the swagger, it's the attitude that they played with back in the day. And it's really interesting because the Seahawks kind of emulate that type of attitude as well now when I watch them play. And, you know, you see the tall corners like Richard Sherman, Brandon Brown, very physical guys like Lester Hayes and Michael Haynes were back in the day. And so it's disheartening to see, you know, the Raiders in the state they are now, where they're not relevant. And they used to be, you know, one of the gold standard of teams for you know, several years in the league, and that hasn't been the case. I'm hoping that's the case now that Reggie McKenzie is in charge. As you know, McKenzie was in Green Bay, was one of their personnel men, worked with John Snyder in Green Bay. John Snyder, of course, is the GM of the Seahawks. And so I think that Reggie is going to come in and be competent in terms of how they select, you know, make personnel choices and move. And I just hope that they give him enough of an opportunity to get things turned around.
Yeah. And, you know, make no doubt about it. You know, Reggie McKenzie is definitely a pillar in the Raiders organization. It's going to take some time. You know, so Raider fans, you know, don't fret. I think it's going to be a matter of a couple of years before things actually get solid. But tell me about the first pick that Reggie McKenzie had, DJ Hayden. I mean, it's a big question mark, but it could be a feel-good story of the draft if things wind up turning around for him.
It's a very risky pick. I was really surprised that ended up being the guy. But, you know, it's somebody that Mike Mayock with the NFL Network was touting as the number one corner out of Houston. But you certainly are concerned about a guy that has his chest opened up and almost died on the field, you know, in college at Houston. So it's a big risk. You know, I thought Sharif Floyd maybe made some more sense because of the need that they had at defensive tackle. They tried to fill that later in the draft. But yeah, that's, if the guy comes out and plays up to his potential and he doesn't have any health concerns, then it's a great pick. You know, he was smart about moving back and getting him at 12 and getting that second round pick back. So I think with the Raiders, it's just getting quality players in there. And I will talk about Matt Flynn a little bit, having watched him day in and day out in practice. Matt Flynn can play. I mean, the reason that Matt Flynn didn't make it here in Seattle isn't because he doesn't have talent. It's because Russell Wilson is a special guy. So I expect Flynn to go down there. And if he has targets and guys that he can get the ball out to, he'll be fine. But if there isn't any guys that are playmakers, I don't think Flynn is a guy that can kind of lift the play around him.
Right, exactly. Well, hey, thank you, man. This is it's great to actually talk some Raider talk here. I can tell you down here, the silver and black, we're definitely looking forward to some optimistic years, if you know what I mean. So,
well, just tell them to be patient, man. Don't run McKenzie out of there. Give him a couple years.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Eric, I hope you enjoyed a few moments of Raider talk, since it's not something you get to do in the Pacific Northwest market too often. And yeah, definitely with the Seahawk angle with Matt Flynn, you know, he should do at least as well as Carson Palmer, if not better, from what we saw out of him in a couple games with Green Bay.
I would agree with that. And thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Good luck with the show. And, you know, please have me back. I'll come on anytime.
Hey, we appreciate it. Thanks again, Eric.
Eric Williams of the Tacoma News Tribune. Thank you, sir. Check out his blog, Seahawks Insider, at the News Tribune website. You can read him in the newspaper if you still want to have the paper in your hands and don't want to go electronic. Eric Williams, the beat writer for the Tacoma News Tribune on the Seattle Seahawks. Thanks for joining us. What a great interview that was. We got some insight on not only the Seahawks, but the Raiders as well. Sean, did you enjoy talking a little bit about the silver and black there for a few moments?
Oh, man, always. It's always fun to talk with the Raider Nation that, you know, definitely spreads all the way around the world. And so, you know, that goes to show, even though you have a team that's down and out that hasn't really done much since 2002, you got to give it to Raider fans that hang in there and stand tough, you know, because some good things are about to happen for the team.
And unfortunately, it's almost like the Mariners and Raiders are on the same cycle.
Oh, gosh, man. Now, you know, the Mariners, it goes all the way back to the 90s, man. So I wouldn't take it that far. But, yeah, man, I can't wait for both teams to turn it around.
Well, the Mariners did make the playoffs in 01 with those 116 wins. So they did have some success early on in 2000. So,
yeah.
All right. Again, much thanks to Eric Williams, Seattle Seahawks beat writer of the Tacoma News Tribune, and you got to talk some Raiders with Sean Boyd. And we will get to break now, and we will return with guest number two after this. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. What a good first half of the show. We had Eric Williams on, the Seattle Seahawks beat writer for the Tacoma News Tribune. We got some good information on the NFL, Sean.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the stuff that Eric was given was golden. I mean, you know, the insight, what's going on in the mini camps, getting a chance to let us know what players are stepping up, who's going to be, you know, one of the players to look for. And, man, Eric's just an all-around great guy. And, of course, getting a chance to talk some Raider talk.
You know, a point I wanted to mention to him that I didn't have time to is that to look for you down in San Francisco when the Seahawks head down there, and you'll probably be freelancing for the sports networks.
Yeah, definitely. And so I'm gonna look up Eric, and we're gonna sit and talk. And you know, of course, he's gonna be rooting for the Seahawks, and I'm just gonna be an innocent bystander watching the game.
That'll be a December 8 matchup, early December, Seattle at the San Francisco 49ers. And if all works out well, I'll be there working alongside you.
Yeah, you know, and of course that's going to be a Fox game. You know, who knows? It might be on a flex schedule. Is it too early in the season for the flex, or is it going to be a Fox game? Do you know, Sean?
Right now it's slated for a Fox 1 p.m. 105 kick, but depending on how the season goes, they could flex it to Sunday night. That is a possibility.
Yeah, so, you know, either way, I mean, you're looking at two dynamic teams. Both teams have been making some adjustments in the offseason, trying to beef up their rosters. And, you know, with the two new quarterbacks that each team has, I mean, it's going to be an exciting year for both Seattle and for San Francisco.
Is it ever too early to talk NFL football?
It's never. It's never too early. I mean, you know, the draft last week or a week and a half ago, I'm still buzzing off of that. You know, it's like Christmas every year. You know, you get a chance to open up the new presents. Hopefully they'll last a long time, and, you know, they'll bring you great rewards.
Let's shift gears as we wait for our second guest to call on the hotline and get into some basketball now and the NBA, league I'm not exactly fond of right now, but that's okay. I'll put that aside. And the playoffs are happening, and all the series are pretty close as we head on in the second round.
Yeah, you know, like I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the show, there are some exciting series that have started here in the second round, and it's just a spillover from the first round. I mean, at one point you were looking at four series in the first round at 3-2, and then those series wound up closing out. But it couldn't be any better, Sean, for the NBA to have such parity playing out. And again, you know, talking about the Golden State Warriors, what a joy to see what they're doing this year.
And with Golden State, you know, there's a couple of key guys on teams that have Northwest ties, and Golden State, one of the better shooters in the league, Klay Thompson from Washington State University.
Yeah, you know, Klay in the first round of the playoffs against Denver, it was a little shaky for him, you know, and I don't know if he was just trying to feel his way. He is a youngster in the league, and, you know, this is his first time in the playoffs, but he seemed a little nerved in the first round. Now starting here in the second round against the Spurs, you know, he had a bad first game, but, you know, game two was something to be seen for Klay. I believe he hit 7 3-pointers, and you mentioned the ties. You know, a Washington State Cougar, and I'm sure that the Palouse was excited to see.
Oh, big time! You know, the one thing that Cougar fans were a little not thrilled with is that he left early, but it seems to be that was the right move, as Klay Thompson is doing well in the NBA.
Yes, you know, and again, you know, just, you know, going back to the Warriors, I mean, you know, I after the Sonics have left, I have definitely embraced the team down here in Northern California, and, you know, it is just fun to see these guys doing what they do.
The other guy with Northwest ties is leading the Bulls in all kinds of ways, little Nate Robinson from the University of Washington.
Yeah, you know, Nate, it's a mystery to me, Sean. You know, here's a young man. He's, I believe he's on the roster at 5'9". I know personally that he's at 5'6". this guy back in high school at Rainier Beach High School was not only a basketball threat, but he was also a football threat and track and field. And for the life of me, with all the energy that he has and the things that he does on the basketball court, I'm trying to figure out what is so hard for this young man to find a home in the NBA. I mean, the Chicago Bulls beat the Heat in game one, but he was also the reason that the Miami Heat ended that 20-plus game winning streak that they had late in the season.
Did you see a couple weeks ago all the incredible shots he was making in the triple overtime thriller with the Nets?
Oh, yeah. You know, and even though this is a big man's game, make no doubt about it, it's fun to see the little guys out there doing what they do. And Nate Robinson isn't afraid. And if you're not careful, and if he gets a good step on you, he can definitely flush it down.
Let's talk Kevin Durant, one of the greatest Sonics ever that we only got to see for one season, sad to say. And I know personally I wouldn't mind if he never wins a championship in Oklahoma City. I know for him, he's a good guy. It's not his fault. I mean, he should get that championship trophy. But people are starting to talk that he's the lead horse pulling that team, and he doesn't have enough help around him.
Well, you know, the knock on Kevin Durant right now is that he is not stepping up and doing what, you know, people feel that he should do, and that's be a leader. And what I mean by that is that you go through the season, you average 25 plus points a game. You're one of the you're actually the NBA scoring title champion, and here the playoffs come around, and the whole knock was that. Russell Westbrook took away from Kevin Durant. And so that was the cry from a lot of us in the media saying, hey, you know, if Russell Westbrook wouldn't take so many shots, then Kevin Durant would be able to do his thing. Well, it's been unfortunate that Russell Westbrook has gone out with an MCL sprain, and he's out for the rest of the remainder of the playoffs. And here's the chance for Kevin Durant to actually get out and show people what he's made of. And they had a real tough time against the Houston Rockets in the first round of the playoffs, and they're having a tough time now. And so, you know, I'm just waiting for Kevin Durant to actually, you know, mature in that area to where he just says, hey, this is my team, get on my back, and we're going to go as far as I can carry you.
Let's go back to Golden State. Mark Jackson, let's talk about him and how he's leading that team and believing in him.
Yeah, you know, Mark Jackson and again, the Golden State Warriors are the feel-good story of the NBA. One of the things that has baffled me, and I know that, you know, the Coach of the Year thing, when it comes around, it's based on the regular season. And kudos to George Karl for finally getting the Coach of the Year. But one of the things that was really puzzling was that Mark Jackson finished number 7 in the voting. And that is, you know, that's something that is really, really baffling me. All he did was take his team through the regular season, get them through to the number 6 spot in the NBA playoffs. That was without a healthy Andrew Bogut, who played, I believe, all of 20 games through the regular season. That was without Steph Curry in and out with injuries with his ankle. And of course, losing Brandon Rush in the first game of the season against the Memphis Grizzlies. And all he did was take them to the number 6 spot. And look what they're doing now in the playoffs. Mark Jackson is the epitome of a player's coach. And he's actually played in the NBA. He's been under the tutelage of Pat Riley. And more importantly, just the positive energy that he gives to his players. There's no reason why they can't go far, and there's no wonder that they're doing so good right now, Sean.
As you look at the NBA playoffs right now, your view before the round started, before the first round, looking at everything on paper, your thoughts then, your thoughts now, have they changed any, or have they stayed the same as to who may end up in the championship round?
Well, obviously, you know, in the East, I was looking at the Miami Heat all the way. That hasn't changed, and I still have them winning the NBA championship. In the West, you know, it has changed a little bit. And, you know, I thought that the LA Clippers were going to actually be a threat and they wind up exiting in the first round. And I thought that Oklahoma City would be that team to actually just cruise through regardless of the injury to Russell Westbrook. Now, the big question mark is can the San Antonio Spurs with their veteranism and their strong play actually get over the hump against the Golden State Warriors and make it to the finals? And can the Oklahoma City Thunder actually turn things around as well? So the West is up for grabs. But here's the thing. Here's where it gets a little tricky. The Memphis Grizzlies all of a sudden have come out of nowhere. And if I were to pick a team to make it to the NBA Finals out of the West, it would be the Memphis Grizzlies.
Resurgent Zach Randolph.
Yeah, you know, you have Zach Randolph. You have Conley playing well. And, of course, you know, and I've always felt that Mark Gasol is actually the better of the two. He's actually getting a chance to shine. And the main reason why I see the Memphis Grizzlies going is because they do have Mark Gasol playing the post at a high level right now. And I still believe you can't win a title without a bona fide post. And I know that people say, hey, well, the Miami Heat won last year without Chris Bosh. Hey, I do look at Chris Bosh as being a strong post, even though he doesn't do it that much down in the block.
Who do you think the most overrated player is right now in the league?
Gosh, man, there's a lot of overrated players in the NBA right now. You know, if I'm going to pick one, you know, it would have to be Blake Griffin right now. You know, here's a team in the LA Clippers that, I mean, there's no reason why they shouldn't have at least made it through to the second round and possibly to the NBA Finals. You have a strong point guard in Chris Paul. You have Chauncey Billups coming back late in the season. You know, you have all the supporting players. You had Jordan, who's actually, he's one of those players, a question mark. But all that being said, Blake Griffin was the centerpiece of that team. And it looked like he, you know, after the little nick that he had, the little injury that he had, just fell apart. And, you know, overrated comes to mind.
That is the voice of Sean Boyd down just south of Sacramento, California, in Elk Grove, a fine city indeed. I am Sean Wally, and we are the Double S Express. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express, as we have brought you a lot of sports talk here so far today. We had a great interview with Eric Williams, the beat writer for the Seattle Seahawks, for the Tacoma News Tribune, and we are bringing it every Monday, 7 p.m. Pacific. Join us and listen to the show. You can call in, find out all the information on our show, bbsradio.com/onthedouble.
Hey, guys, just in case you're wondering, we're supposed to have Ruthie Bolton on the show to do an interview with her. She's down in Mississippi right now dealing with some family situations, and so she was unable to come on the show today, but we look forward to having her here on our next show or in the near future. But I just wanted to let everybody know she had some things that she had to deal with the family. She called earlier and said she wanted to be on the show, but then explained that she had some family situations. So,
well, hopefully everything works out all right for Ruthie Bolton and her family. And we will get to one final break, come back and wrap things up here on the Double with the Double S Express on bbsradio.com.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd, bringing you sports talk, information, news, interviews, everything sports related. You'll hear it here on the Double.
Yeah, you know, it's been a fun first broadcast for us, Sean. And, you know, again, we're looking forward to the callers starting to call in next week with any types of ideas, you name it, sports-wise, football, basketball, baseball, track, lacrosse, the whole nine. We're here for you on the Double with the Double S Express.
That number to call starting May 20th is 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471 to be on the Double with the Double S Express.
Yes, and so, you know, you had mentioned some of the great weather that we're having down here in Northern California, 90 degree day today, but man, it sounds like in your neck of the woods up in Washington that it's the hottest spot in the country, Mr. Wally.
Pretty unbelievable to think that, you know, of Death Valley or spots in Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, that the Tri-Cities area of Eastern Washington has been the hottest part of the country the last 2, 3, 4 days. Supposed to hit about 95, 96 again today and tomorrow, not dipping below 90 until Sunday.
Yeah, you can imagine, you know, they talk about the dog days, and they're not only are they vastly approaching, but they're here. And normally in OTAs, especially up in Renton, Washington, in Seattle, it's normally more dreary around this time. So, you know, I know those guys are probably up there having fun with the sunshine.
Might be an omen, the sun shining on Seahawks at practice in Renton.
I knew I'd get you going there, man. I knew I'd get you.
Be sure to check out our show page at bbsradio.com/onthedouble, as well as our Facebook page, like the Double S Express on Facebook. And hey, you can follow us on Twitter as well.
And don't forget, toll free for bbsradio.com. You can call in at 888-429-5471. Again, that number is 888-429-5471. Call in. Let us know what you think.
Well, we've got a bit of breaking news. Someone has called in. Sean, why don't you take it away? Our second guest of the day is with us.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Ruthie.
How you doing, man? Yeah, hey, man.
Well, welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. I know that you are handling some family situations down there, and I appreciate you taking a minute to call into the show.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, I'm down here with my peeps. You know my peeps. You know, I got a big old family, so they all trying to take all my time. I say, I got to step to the side for this interview.
Yeah, hey, you know, you're being modest with, you know, being down with the peeps. There's a family of 20 siblings. Is that correct, Ruthie?
Yeah, well, 19. Is like, I got 11 sisters and 8 brothers.
Oh, my goodness. You are truly blessed.
Oh, yeah.
So since we have a couple of minutes here, Ruthie, and I thank you for being on the show. You know, I was just talking with a couple of people about your book, The Ride of a Lifetime. Can you tell our listeners about the book?
You know what? This is my story. I know this book is my life. I try to sum up, you know, 4 or 5 years of greatness, and not in an arrogant way, but just four or five years of resilience and fight and determination. So the books just talk about my life journey. It gives intimate details of stories of what I had to go through, times I could have quit, you know, my, you know, recruiting process, which was little or none, after college, and to just talk about what my formula to what I call success. And I've had to go through a lot. I want people to know. I want people to know that I wasn't highly recruited. I want people to know that, you know, I had to pay my own way in my first national trial. And I want people to know that it wasn't easy, that there were times I could have quit. And I want them to know that if the key is, it's not how, where you're going, but how you get there. And so in my journey, there's been some ups and some downs, but I stayed the course. And that's what the Ride of a Lifetime is about, staying the course, not quitting, and finding value in your journey, And so it's been a thrill to be able to go and share. And I go around to schools, churches, youth groups, colleges, and wherever, any venue I can get into to share my story. It's a thrill, and I'm excited about it.
Well, thank you, Ruthie, for that. And definitely, I know firsthand that you definitely talk the talk and walk the walk. And, you do some great things, with the high schools and the churches and the communities. And I do appreciate you definitely standing in the gap, because it wasn't easy. And like you're saying, and some of the things that you're mentioning in your book, how you weren't highly recruited, how your sister was recruited heavily over you, and, you know, how you overcame those adversities and to where you played six strong years. I believe I was it 6 or 7 years in the NBA or WNBA, and did some great things and playing on the Olympic team and having 2 gold medals. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm sitting here, when I go and speak, I always take my medals to show the youth, and show whomever, because I wanted, because the gold medal is a nice thing, and I want to show that, yeah, these, I got these, but I want you to know what it took for me to get them. That I didn't, you know, I wasn't an All-American, I wasn't this superstar, and I want you to know I still was able to achieve not one, but 2 gold medals, and be inducted to the Women's Hall of Fame. So it's been a great ride, and I just want you to know that you can do it too, and that's one of the reasons I have a passion back in Mississippi, because I want the people to know here. I was here a couple of weeks ago, and I went to a school and I did 3 presentations, and the principal, I've never seen these kids so in awe, so engaging, you know, so just so in tune to what a speaker was sharing. And so, you know, because I was just telling them, I said, you know, I'm from Mississippi. These are things I've done. You can do it too. You know, you can, you know, I want you to know that even though you're from a small town, that you can still overcome so much, but you got to believe it's a mindset. I can't emphasize enough the mindset, because if your mindset is negative, your mindset is defeat, then you're not going to do it. But I want you to know that my mindset was my key to achieving, becoming an Olympian. And my dad helped instill that in me. You know, my mom and my dad both, unfortunately, have passed away, but they both left us a legacy. You know, my dad will always say, he said, I may not leave y'all with a lot of money, a lot of stocks and bonds, but I want to leave you with something that you can pass on from generation to generation, and that's their legacy of faith, hope, and character.
Oh, that's great stuff.
Ruthie, that's Sean Wally up here in Washington, a pleasure to speak with you. Thanks so much for being on our show today. And what you're saying is exactly what I'm glad to hear, because you look at all of your accolades, the great things you've done in the Army Reserves, the college basketball, the gold medals, and the WNBA success, and it does. It just seems like, man, this has just been great success all around, which it has, but there's a lot of things in the background and behind the scenes that people don't see. You don't just wake up one day and have a gold medal in your lap.
Yes, exactly. You know, and there's a few, you know, like I said, I don't, you know, the athletes that are more talented, that you know, wake up and All-Americans in a sense, you know, that's fine, but you know what, my path wasn't that way. You know, this is my stand. You know, if the door of opportunity closed, you got to find a window to get through. You know, and sometimes your journey you might have to work hard to get the same things somebody else got, but that's okay. You know, do whatever it takes, but don't look back 15, 20 years later and say, man, I could have done this. I should have, you know, living life in regrets, because you was afraid to embrace a challenge. You're afraid to embrace an endeavor that looked like it was impossible. So if it burns, a burning sensation in your heart and your soul, desire to do something, do it, you know. And if it doesn't work out, oh well, you know, let's move on to something else. But don't not do because of people perspective, you know. And that's what I, with my kids I work with in school, I say, you know what, it's what's inside that counts. It doesn't matter what people say, their perception. You know, my dad said also, once again, it doesn't matter what people say, you know, just don't let it be true. that's in a negative aspect. You know, if someone said you're not good enough, okay, I'll show you. And that's what I did by my actions when I got to college. My coach was like, you know, he never thought I would play. They told me, you probably won't play your junior, senior year. And I got there, and I not only did I play my freshman year, I started my freshman year, and he said, oh, my goodness, if someone – now we, you know, we're still friends today. And he said, someone had told me that one day you would become a two-time Olympian, play in two world championships, be inducted to the Women Hall of Fame, have your jersey retired at every, you know, high school, college, and pro. He said, he would have said, are you crazy? Not this young lady. He said, but you really showed us what it means to – about determination, resilience, he said, because, you know, no one recruited you, no one believed in you, and the last school that was going to give you an opportunity told you that you weren't good enough, he said, so that was enough to quit, that was enough to walk away, but you decided not to, you decided to embrace, and he said, we commend you, and so he actually wrote the foreword to my book, you know, so.
Oh, the foreword in the book, Coach definitely mentioned that, and, for Ruthie, Ruthie went to Auburn University, my alum, and so I'm very excited about the things that you have accomplished. And Coach Champy, you know, is definitely a great person coming forward and putting that in the book.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, they built about 3 years ago a really nice facility, about a $50 million facility that is gorgeous. And when you walk in, you see my name engraved and. And when I see that, it just reminds me, like, man, I'm glad I didn't quit. I'm glad I didn't give up. I'm glad I didn't not press on because I'm being afraid of what might not happen, you know. So I'm glad that my faith took me there. My faith, you know, and my work ethic, you know, was my platform that helped me overcame.
And that's a strong testament to you, Ruthie. I know your strong work ethic and the things that you've done, that you did at Auburn University. And I definitely appreciate those things. And I look forward to getting back down there and seeing those accolades that you accomplished far more than what I did.
We all got our journey. We all have our own greatness. You know, we all have our own journey, our own story. So, and so everybody, and my message when I speak is about the road to excellence. And the road to excellence, whether your role is to the Olympics, whether your role is to be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, or to be an engineer, or be a musician, whatever your journey is, give it 100%, and you strive for excellence, and you let your journey be the best, and so that when you look back, you don't have any regrets. And that's my message. So the road to excellence and the road to the goal, you know, is whatever is your mindset. It's your mindset and your endeavor. If your mindset and your endeavor is that, you know what, the attitude is I'm going to give 100%, I'm not going to let circumstances keep me from pressing on, to me, you are Olympian in your own right.
Well, Ruthie, we thank you. We thank you for coming on the show, and we thank you for giving the pearls of wisdom and taking the time out and sharing with our listeners some of the things that you've overcome and it just explaining that, you know, things don't come easy. And again, we thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah. And if anyone is interested in me speaking at any venue, whether schools or churches, they can, can I give them an email?
Yeah, you sure can.
Okay. The email is ctedd@aol.com. ctedd@aol.com. And the person name is Tar. This is my publicist, so he's done an excellent job at helping me get into venues. And I love sharing my story, and I think that, you know, God has given me a platform to share that. So I want to get into as many venues as possible. So if anyone interested in the books or interested in me speaking, feel free to email. And they can also, you know what, go to RuthieBolton.com, too. RuthieBolton.com is a great role, and I'll give a message, too.
All right. And so Ruthie sent out our information for you. Be sure to support in anything, you know, especially something this positive. And again, Ruthie, we thank you. And also, The Ride of a Lifetime is the name of the book. Feel free to take
and they can get that on Amazon.
They can get it on Amazon. All right,
they can get it on Amazon, and also from, you know, if they email and I can also provide them with it too. So come here. I'm sorry, I'm talking to my son, sorry.
Well,
thank you so much, Ruthie.
Thank you so much. And y'all keep doing great work. Keep being a platform and an avenue for people to share their story.
Well, thank you and blessings to you.
All right. We hope to have you on again. Thanks so much.
War Eagle.
War Eagle. Hey, and I expect to get some gear when you come back.
I got you, man. I got you covered.
All right.
There okay, she God is bless. Okay. Ruthie Bolton, God bless you as well, as a two-time Olympic gold medalist. Fabulous story. Go pick up her book. Big thanks to Ruthie Bolton for joining us here on the show, along with Eric Williams, Seattle Seahawks beat writer for the Tacoma News Tribune. Sean Boyd, show one in the books.
Yes, and, you know, also a big shout-out to Doug Newsom, helping us out, our engineer, our crack staff, for making this all a reality. And we thank everybody, all friends and family that have made this possible. And, hey, here we go.
Tune in next Monday, May 20th, 7 p.m. Pacific, for show two of On the Double with the Double S Express. Like our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter. Both of them are Double S Express. And then our show page, bbsradio.com, On the Double. For Sean Boyd, I'm Sean Wally. We will talk to you next Monday night, 7 p.m. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express. You